Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Most of us have fantasised about it, haven't we? Ditching our routines, tossing the phone aside, disappearing into a simpler off-the-grid life. Well, picture this. A sun-soaked paradise in the mountains of Portugal, beaches just a stone's throw away, not a single email in sight. Well, our next guest didn't just imagine it, he did it. Alistair Leithhead, former BBC correspondent and now living that sort of a life in Portugal, joins me on the line. Hello, Alistair.
Hello, that sounds a little optimistic.
It does, because I know you're running an ecotourism business where you are. But listen, let's focus on the good side of this first.
Your
career before you embarked on this journey, you had the high-pressured, fast-moving job in the BBC. When did it occur to you that maybe there was a whole other world out there?
Well, I suppose it's during COVID, isn't it, when all these things kind of happen. I'd taken a year off from a job at the BBC to go back to university for a year, and then COVID hit, and options weren't around except an option that we'd had, which was a place we'd bought, an off-the-grid place in the middle of southwestern Alentejo on the coast of Portugal. And all of a sudden, an idea of doing up a ruin and, you know, while we bounce around the world, my wife was a diplomat, I, of course, was a journalist, became a different thing altogether. And that was to be based here permanently and to do something different at 50. And so I left the Beeb and started on this project.
And here you are. So your intention was to have a sort of a nice bolt hole in Portugal originally, was it?
That's right. Yeah, just something to do up, as I say, over time.
And then you made this big decision, both of you, was it, to leave your jobs at that time?
Yes, absolutely.
So you get to Portugal and you decide that you're going to have this, what we would see as being an idyllic life. What happened? How was it from the get-go?
Oh, it's been great. I mean, I'm just the optimism with which we introduced me made me giggle a little bit, because it's quite stressful, as any job is, trying to make things happen in countries where you don't speak the language very easily to start with, and where there's a lot of bureaucracy and things that are challenges. But we basically bought more than just a ruin. It was a house and little guest house. The guest house we thought we could rent out. Legally, we couldn't. And then someone said, well, if you had a tourism, you could. So we're like, oh, well, maybe we can have a tourism. And then next thing, we were talking to a consultant. We were talking to banks and the tourism authorities. And next thing, they gave us a zero interest loan to start building. Then we started building. And now suddenly, 3 years later, we find ourselves standing, as I am at the moment, in a clubhouse, looking at a couple of new accommodation blocks we've built and an old bungalow and a fantastic view for about 70 kilometres to the south, to the Algarve, and a beach 15 minutes away. So, yeah, it all kind of happened in a rush, really, and now it's here.
All I wanted to do was rent out a cottage, Your Honour.
That's it. Absolutely. And now we've learned how to build, we have to forget all that and learn how to run a place, which is something neither of us have done either.
Right, well, that seems quite far removed from wanting to change the pace of your life. You're now involved in this relatively big ecotourism business.
Yeah, I think it was easier getting shot at in Afghanistan, to be honest with you. But no, it's a nice change of life. It's a change of pace. It allows us, after my wife and I bouncing around the world for years, to call somewhere home and to have all these amazing, interesting people from all over the world that we've met come and stay with us and see us. And, you know, meet lots of others as well who are discovering this weird little corner of Portugal that's hidden. I mean, we talk about our beaches as being the last wild coast in Europe, because they really are these kind of beautiful little hidden cliffs that we can have to ourselves, even in August. So there's some wonderful things that we have here, and we're very fortunate.
Now, it wasn't all straightforward, I know. You have your own electricity generated there at the Eco Lodge, which is fantastic. But when it came to your water supply, you hit a few bumps in the road, didn't you?
Oh, the whole thing was bumps in the road. We had no idea what we were doing. We started. It wasn't like we looked for an off-grid place because we wanted to be eco-friendly. We bought a place that was off the grid and hadn't any choice except to learn how to work it. And the only way to learn how to work something with no instructions is to break it and then replace it and then gradually learn how to do it. So that's what we did with the power system. We broke the electricity system and then rebuilt it. Right. And with water, yeah, it's, you know, we've had a very wet winter, actually, which has been brilliant. And we've got all our tanks are full, our lakes full, and all the rest of it. But it's our biggest concern because obviously it can be drought with the way that the climate's changing. And so, yeah, we've got a very complex system involving boreholes and capturing rainwater and mixing them together because our borehole water has mineral salts in it. I could bore your listeners for hours on this, and I regularly bore myself talking about it. But basically, we found a solution. We mix rainwater with well water, and we've got drinking water. Saying it very quickly probably negates the 3 years of stress and strain that has been involved in trying to come to that solution.
Gosh, and you're trying to do, and you've got dogs as well, but you're trying you're trying to do this, Alistair, in a place, and I think you said earlier that you didn't speak the language very well, and I'm sure you weren't quite au fait with the system in Portugal and how things work. I'm sure that was all very difficult to overcome.
Yeah, well, look, fortunately, my wife's half Portuguese, half Swedish. Her father
helps.
Is from this part of Alentejo, or from this region. It's a third of the country, Alentejo. So it really does help. But yeah, it is, you know, learning another system, another bureaucracy, it is very, very difficult. It has its challenges, of course. And, you know, the ideas that we have aren't necessarily in line with the architectural ideas that the town halls have here. The fact it is very difficult to do means a lot of people aren't doing it. Which means it's not overcrowded. It's certainly not going to become, you know, the Algarve anytime soon. It's very much a place where it's quiet. I mean, apart from when the dogs bark, I'm standing outside here, you know, the cuckoo and the frogs, and that's about it. So it's a very peaceful part of the world. And we wanted to stay that way because that's what attracted us to it. And that's what I think is going to bring people to it as well. We call ourselves the Valley of the Stars because the first night that we stayed here, we sort of sat outside in the dark, looked up and saw the Milky Way, and were just blown away by the fact that we could see that because it's so dark here at night and so quiet. And so it's all these things that we thought, well, we love it, and people like us are going to love it, and all the people we've known over the years will love it. And so hopefully we'll be able to make a successful business of bringing people here.
It sounds beautiful as you describe it, but that notion of, you know, throwing away the phone, forgetting about the deadlines, now are you in a place where you've got to make margins and you have to have a certain occupancy rate in order to pay the bills?
The loans to pay back, absolutely. No, it's all the same. It's a lovely idea. All these things are. But look, yeah, we do wake up to this stunning view. I'm looking at it now and we have to pinch ourselves every time we look at it. It's the view we fell in love with when we cut down the eucalyptus forest, which is where I'm standing now. And built this whole project. But obviously it's a bit of the old life as well, because we wanted to carry on the storytelling, which I've always done. And so we discovered that the wines of Portugal could be a really good thing to focus on when it comes to stories, rather than wars and other terrible things. And so we started doing a podcast, or I started making a podcast on wine and going to meet winemakers and realize that you can tell the history and the geography, the stories of Portugal, while people are drinking a glass of wine and talking about that winery. And the great thing is that the more you talk and the more they drink, the better the story gets.
I'm sure. I can understand that. And is that working for you? I mean, is it a success now, the venture?
Well, we just opened. We only got a license about a month ago. And so we're going through the sort of the nightmare of being on various booking sites, and we're looking to run retreats from here as well. And so we're just getting started. We're a bit nervous and a bit stressed because we've got bills to pay and people aren't staying yet. But I think we're pretty confident what we've got is amazing, and people will find us and come, and it'll all be great. So fingers crossed.
Let's hope. And as you say, you haven't left the storytelling part of your life behind. You'll have the podcast and you'll continue to tell people stories about your life there as it exists now.
Exactly. We're planting a vineyard in March and we're going to try making wine. And so as the years go on, we'll just be the story. We'll just say what we're doing and what we're learning. We'll take people around our solar systems and our water systems. And we'll try that when they come here to show them what it's like to live when power is limited and when water is limited. You wouldn't know by looking at it. We call ourselves Ecolux because people see the place and think it's just like a normal fancy place. But the fact is, there is a limited amount of power and water, and we've got egg timers, hourglasses in all the showers, so people only take short showers to try and persuade them, gamify it a bit. Well, it's just a fun way of teaching people.
Absolutely, and we should all be doing that. Alistair, thank you so much. It was lovely to talk to you, and it does sound idyllic. It's called The Valley of the Stars, if you want to look it up online, and that's Alistair Leith.